Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on September 1st, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
All right. If you'd like to know more about all of our adventures, please go to facebook.com/The South Bay Show. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and we talk about persistence, passion, principle, and purpose here on The South Bay Show. Of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm confused, Joe.
Yeah, why?
maybe my guest can help us with this question today. Last night, I took my first contortion class.
Ooh, yes?
Yes. I do that the aerial arts, you know, the hammock and the silks and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And they offer a contortion class that I've been hearing incredible things about, so I decided to try it last night.
Okay.
And it's just extreme stretching, all right?
Yeah.
Extreme stretching, like you're like somebody's pushing you. You know, it's not just you trying to touch your toes. There's somebody behind you sitting on your back pushing you. It's very, very extreme stretching. And I got through the class, and I didn't sleep last night.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if it was the contortion, all that stretching that did. I mean, I didn't sleep at all. Do you think they're connected?
Yes.
I think so, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some people say, especially with things like Pilates and other whole body exercises like that, that they really it does really sort of interrupt or change their sleeping patterns, at least.
Yeah. I know that, well, they've said for years that you shouldn't exercise before you go to sleep because it just ramps you up, right?
Right, sure. Yeah.
But this wasn't exercise per se. It was, as I said, extreme stretching.
Oh.
So I'm wondering, I could not sleep last night. And you know me, I don't do well when I don't get sleep. So
Yeah.
Anyway, so as I said, maybe our guest can help me with that, an answer to that today.
Okay.
All right.
Well, we're going to be discussing one of the signature events here in the South Bay, long supported by a wonderful sponsor, Honda, in Torrance, and boy, the South Bay really is going to miss them when they're gone. I know they're in the process of going to Texas, but this event, Evening Under the Stars, has been so special for so many years. We're thrilled to have people to talk about that event and about the beneficiaries as well. Jackie, who are our guests today?
Our guests this morning are Gina Sievert and Mary Wright from Torrance Memorial. As director of Torrance Memorial Medical Center's Maternal Child Services, Mary Wright is responsible for strategy and operational leadership of a staff of more than 250 in the day-to-day management of the mother-baby unit, labor and delivery, pediatrics, and the neonatal intensive care unit. The labor and delivery department helps to support the South Bay's newest residents by overseeing the birth of more than 3,000 babies annually. Mary's leadership with these units includes serving as an active member of the High-Risk OB Committee, which focuses on multidisciplinary care plans for high-risk mothers and neonates. Currently, Mary is engaged in the remodeling and relocation of the NICU, Mother, Baby, and Pediatrics units to the North Patient Tower. Mary holds a bachelor's degree and master of science degree from California State University Fullerton and is certified in high-risk obstetrics. She is a member of the Association of Women's Health, Obstetric and Neonatal Nurses and the Perinatal Outreach Leadership Council. Now, Gina Sievert graduated from Long Beach State with a degree in child development. She began her career at Miller Children's Hospital, working in the Pediatric Intensive Care Unit, as well as General Pediatrics. And she's been at Torrance Memorial Medical for 21 years, working in General Pediatrics, Burn Unit, Short Stay, NICU, and the Adult Palliative Care Team. Now, this morning, Joe, we're going to hear about the recent sold-out event, Evening Under the Stars, the 30th Annual Gourmet Food and Wine Festival. The gala took place on Saturday, August 27th at the Honda headquarters in Torrance. And as you mentioned, the proceeds benefit Torrance Memorial Medical Center and for our children. And we're going to learn about how that all comes together. Gina, Mary, welcome to the program. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you very much for having us. Yes.
Thank you both. It's such a wonderful event, 30 years, it's been so strong, and I'm sure it's going to continue strong into the future. But Mary, perhaps we can start with you. There's something special about the recipient of this or the beneficiary of this event. Torrance Memorial as an institution has been such a strong institution here in the South Bay. Can you talk a little bit about Torrance Memorial Medical Center and its impact on the entire Southern California region?
Yes, Torrance Memorial Medical Center has been a longstanding tradition of the South Bay. We pride ourselves in delivering high-quality care and really keeping our community associated with the hospital and also having a great place for the community to go for medical care. As we all know, in the LA area, it's difficult to travel outside. The traffic has its challenges. So to be able to keep our community here with all the services we provide is really what we strive for, and we want to deliver the best quality of care as well.
Yes. Wonderful, wonderful hospital. And I have to say, I'm a member of Relay for Life, associated with the American Cancer Society, and so you know, there's all of these ads on television about these great cancer sort of services. I hope they all go out of business. I'm sorry. I hope that they all just find
I hope so, too. We find the cure and we can go forward. And we're striving, too, at Torrance to really up our game as far as our cancer care. We know how valuable that is to have all your services here.
I'm sorry about that all of your cancer services are eventually going to go out of business.
I hope so.
I hope
but we'll find something else.
Instead of delivering 3,000 babies, you deliver 6,000 babies a year.
There you go.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful to increase our birth rate here in the South Bay. I'd love to see that.
you know, Joe, I never thought about that before until Mary just said that. Could you imagine having an emergency and having to go to a hospital on the west side?
No.
I can't even imagine that.
As you know, Jackie, and some of our listeners know, my daughter recently donated a kidney.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, she's 26, going on 27, and she donated a kidney to a friend of hers that she's known since seventh grade. And it's all wonderful. They're both very healthy now, and both have a very healthy prognosis. But the key is, we had to go to a great hospital, but we had to go to Cedars-Sinai. And getting to Cedars, on the west side, and it's basically in Beverly Hills, getting to Cedars on a busy day is crazy.
It doesn't even have to be a busy day.
Yeah, right.
It can be Saturday and it's still crazy. Yeah, we understand the challenges of our community, and that's how come we really strive to reach out and serve them as best we can. And that, to us, is, making sure our pediatric services have a depth of you know, consultants that we can bring in to serve our patients here as opposed to having our patients go outside.
Right. I think Cedars is about 12 miles as the crow flies,
mm-hmm.
and it only takes an hour.
Only.
So that, you know, it's well over, you know, 3 miles an hour.
Oh, my God.
Well over, I think. It's fast. It's really fast.
Oh, yes.
But, Gina, tell us a little bit about what you do and what your organization does and how that ties into this event in general.
Well, in a sentence or two, I'm called a child life specialist, and it's basically a health care professional who addresses the psychosocial needs of children going through experiences in a health care setting.
Mm.
And I do this in a number of ways, and the most important is just helping them understand what's going on with them. I have a puppet and play medical equipment that I use to help explain basically what's happening with them or what's going to happen, whether it be, you know, as serious as going in for surgery or as simple as getting their blood pressure measured.
Right.
Yeah. I also try to decrease their stress and anxiety by simply creating a comfortable and fun environment for them. I have a beautiful playroom with lots of toys, iPads, movies, game systems, and basically anything else you can think of that makes a kid happy.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so all the fundraising that went on this past weekend, you know, will be able to support this program that I manage here at the hospital.
Again, you definitely get a sense that medicine today is getting so sophisticated in treating the whole person. I mean, a child obviously isn't just a set of, you know, medical tests and diagnoses and numbers. They are people, and they mm-hmm. have particular needs in terms of, as you say, the psychosocial aspect of being sick, being in the hospital.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I reach my goal when a patient doesn't want to go home, and not bragging, but that does happen often, which is a good thing.
Wow!
Right, and then also too, we have to keep in mind. And Gina is very wonderful with helping our parents deal with what their child is going through, because again, we're trying to treat and help the whole family,
right.
And that's a very important aspect of care, especially in the pediatric population.
Well, I think it really is all said by the one phrase, mother-baby unit. Just unpack that for a minute. Where did that phrase come from?
Traditionally, so long ago, let's say 20, 30 years ago, obstetric care was provided, number one, in a nursery for the babies, and then in another unit for the mothers. So you had nurses caring for moms, and you had other nurses caring for babies. Over time, we have figured out this was not a very good strategy. Mothers weren't learning how to carefully, how to feed their babies, how to care for their babies, how to understand their baby's feeding cues when the baby was hungry, when the baby needed to be changed, because the nurses were attending to all those needs in the nursery.
Right.
So basically, over time, we figured out, why don't we put them all together? So basically,
right.
We have a mother-baby unit, and we do what's called couplet care. The mother and the baby are together. And then also, too, we bring in the support person, and then we keep the whole family together now. And that is our goal, and that is our push 24 hours a day.
I got to ask something. It's been a long time since I've been to a hospital to see, somebody having a baby. I remember my older sister had her first child. I was about 11, and I remember my parents taking us to the hospital, and they were we had to look through the glass. There was a room with all the babies in it, and they
yes.
had their names on, and they were in their own little crates.
Uh-huh.
and they were like, oh, there's your nephew, whatever. And then years later, I remember going to visit friends, and the nurses would bring the babies into the room with the
mm-hmm.
mother. But then the other thing is, I also remember way back in the day, mothers used to be in the hospital for maybe 4 or 5 days when they had a baby. Just that's regular birth. That's not C-section. And then
right.
There was many years where people were literally going in, having the baby, and leaving the same day.
Yes, like, we've kind of We've swung back and forth over the years.
Yeah. So there are all these different styles of how to manage women giving birth. So where is it now?
Okay. Well, we're kind of landing in the center a little bit. They're not staying 4 or 5 days. If you have a cesarean delivery, you'll stay 3 to 4 usually. If you're having a vaginal birth, it's usually 1 to 2. We like to get over the 24-hour mark because there's some screening tests that we're doing on all newborns before they go home. We test their hearing. We test, we screen for congenital heart defects. So we want to make sure they at least get through that 24-hour mark. And then after they've done those screening tests and we're satisfied that they're eating properly, you know, either by breast milk or by bottle feeding, then we, you know, think they're free to go home. Now, some parents want to get that one more night to make sure they get their routines down before they go, and that's usually quite acceptable. So 2 days usually for most vag deliveries and 3 to 4 for C-sections.
Now, pardon me for, you know, just sort of pointing out the obvious, but of course it's in everyone's best interest for the shortest possible stay. It's financially and always, and
correct.
It's obvious. It's so obvious, isn't it now, that if the mother and the child are together and they're being taught, the mother is being taught how to relate to her child, then they can leave in 2 or 3 days and everything will be wonderful.
That is correct. You know, no one wants to stay in a hospital longer than you should, because hospitals are usually for people that aren't really healthy. Now, in the maternal child world, it's a little different. But again, if things are going normally, you're probably best, you know, finding out all those other little intricacies of your child in your own home.
Wow. This is wonderful, actually.
The other thing they do is nowadays is they'll have, like, the father and siblings stay in the hospital too, right?
Correct. So long as there's – yes. We encourage a support person to be there because, basically, mom is tired. We understand that she's gone through labor and now she's having this after time with her baby. But between the two people, the two adults, you know, they usually then can kind of go back and forth, you know, if you're going to be awake caring for the baby or holding the baby or comforting the baby. And then also if there is an adult to be responsible for any other sibling, then that sibling could stay too, depending on, again, what's kind of going on with the mom as well.
Wow. So 2 to 3 days for a vaginal birth and how long for a cesarean?
Actually, 1 to 2 for a vag, 3 to 4 for a cesarean.
Wow, that's quick. Wow, that's amazing. Well, that's modern medicine at really its best, integrative, holistic, and these are all my big words. And,
but also too, you have to remember, not everybody is to that speed. You know, we have some moms that are ill. We have moms that have some comorbidities such as diabetes, hypertension, which may elongate their stay here as well. But again, being in a great facility like Torrance allows us to give both ends of the spectrum here.
Now, speaking of facility, let's talk about that pink elephant in the room. that great new tower.
Oh.
Yes, isn't it wonderful?
The Lundquist Tower. You know, this is interesting. I don't remember who it was, Joe, that we had as a guest on the show, but they were telling us that a hospital room costs $1 million a room. Remember that? I can't remember who the guest was, but and we were talking about the Lundquist Tower. And they said that today's world, it's $1 million to build a hospital room. And that tower is impressive. Tell us a little bit about it. Well, it's a whole campus over there. Tell us a little bit about that.
The new tower opened up in 2014. So we've been there a couple of years now. It is an absolutely gorgeous facility. The artwork is incredible. We have some modern technology, as you were speaking of, we have lifts that are able to help us move and reposition our patients so our nurses aren't straining their backs. We have automatic facilities to do dialysis so the patient doesn't have to move to another room. They can stay in their room and, again, have all the services come to them.
Hmm.
It is truly an amazing facility over there. The Women's Services is remaining in the central tower, but we're doing wonderful, you know, upgrades to our units right now, and we have large construction projects in order as we speak.
That's amazing. Yeah, I mentioned in the intro that you were involved with the renovation and relocation, remodeling and relocation of your units.
Yes, we certainly are. We have basically a domino effect in, starting out. Our mother baby unit, which is located on the third floor currently of the North Tower, will move downstairs to the second floor, which is basically has a little bit larger rooms. They're 30% larger, has a little more high-end finishes, granite countertops, large nurse's station and working area. It's got a very small nursery since the babies are spending 99.9% of the time with their parents.
So you still have the room that you look through the glass and see the babies in their cribs.
Correct. And also, too, it's basically only for the babies that are perhaps ill or have had a change in their status. And so we're assessing those medical needs as opposed to just the babies are sitting in there while the moms are sitting in the other room.
Mm.
The babies usually are with the moms. After that move, which will probably take place in October, we're keeping our fingers crossed, we will start construction on a brand new NICU ward. So our neonatal intensive care ward will be made out of the current third floor mother baby unit. We'll be creating 23 private NICU rooms, which will give our families, again, a similar experience as our moms do have on the normal mother-baby unit.
Mm-hmm.
Parents will be allowed to stay at the bedside. We will have sleep rooms for parents who perhaps are really too tired to stay at the bedside but want to stay close to their babies if their babies are really critical. So we'll have some sleep rooms where they can go and get a respite. We will have conference rooms where we can have family conferences and, you know, talk about baby's needs after discharge or baby's needs during the growing period. The unit will be quite fabulous and can't wait to get there.
So many great things going on.
Yes. And then I forgot about the fourth floor. The fourth floor will be our new pediatric unit. We have been working now about a year looking at plans. We will have probably 17 pediatric beds, as well as a new playroom for Gina.
Yay.
good for Gina. The staff have had input into basically the design features, as well as, conceptually, what are we going to be doing, like with our coloring and things like that. They have picked a beach theme. So we're going to have, you know, things like, sea stars and flip-flops and beach chairs, different things to kind of bring in our community, once again, our South Bay community.
Well, speaking of community, what do you consider? Do you know what the boundaries are for what Torrance Memorial considers its community? Like, is there any way to keep track of that? Do you know?
Like, I know they do it by zip codes. As far as the outreach, but I can't tell you, you know, by streets what exactly.
Well, do you get a lot of family baby? Let's just talk about babies being born because that's an impressive number, 3,000 a year.
Yes.
So do you get a lot of babies? People from El Segundo that are having their babies at Torrance Memorial.
Uh-huh. We have some El Segundo, San Pedro. We have a fair amount of our populations from Wilmington.
Okay.
And we have a special program to help those moms with their babies as well. What else?
So from San Pedro to El Segundo.
Yeah, I believe so. Mm-hmm.
Anybody north of the airport is probably going to a hospital on the west side then.
That could be, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Awesome.
And also, too, besides my patients coming here, I have some nurses that drive a really long way. I have a couple nurses that live, one in Moreno Valley, I have another nurse that lives up in Big Bear.
Mm-hmm.
I have a respiratory therapist who lives in Arrowhead. These people travel intense distances to come here to serve this community because they feel such a bond.
And are they committed for long term with that commute?
I have 20, 25, and 30, yes, 30 years of service.
Wow.
And those folks.
Well, Moreno Valley, all I know is that Moreno Valley, you can buy a brand new 3-bedroom, 2-bath home, and with principal, interest, tax, and insurance, pay less than $1,700 a month.
Wow, maybe that's the driver. But I believe this lady, and she needs the property. She has some horses, so that's what I think probably keeps her in that area.
Right, right. She needs the space, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it goes without saying that with such fabulous things going on with Torrance Memorial, there's going to be needs for money. I know that the Torrance Memorial has an endowment and significant funding from the state and from the federal government, but that's not going to close the gap. There still needs to be fundraising locally, and that's what Evening Under the Stars has been about for 30 years. That's quite a history. Mary, what was your first memory of Evening Under the Stars? How long ago did you get involved with that event?
Well, I've only been here at Torrance 5 years, so I'm basically a youngster.
Okay.
I first learned about Evening Under Stars about year two, and I was fascinated by the community support. I was fascinated that they sell out basically every year as far as getting a ticket to attend.
Right.
This year was the first year I had the privilege of attending,
yes,
and I had a wonderful time. I couldn't believe how jam-packed it was, again, the community supports it, all the different restaurants with all their different tasting stations,
yeah,
and how friendly everybody was. It was such a community effort, and I'm sure we ran the gamut. We had staff nurses there to, you know, my CEO, all mingling together. It was quite an event, and Kenny G was just remarkable.
Oh, man, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
What a signature event here in the South Bay. And I understand it was at the Fox Chase Manor. Had you ever been to that venue before?
No, I had never experienced that venue before. In fact, I was highly impressed. It was absolutely gorgeous. I was thinking it was going to be a little cold, but it was quite warm with all the people there. It was great.
Where was it? I've never heard of it.
I'm not sure if that was – is that what the actual grounds we were on was called? Because I don't recall seeing that name fly by. I thought it was we heard – it was designated as the Honda Center, but I'm not sure if that was a different little area of the Honda Center.
Well,
They normally have it at the Honda Center.
Okay,
correct.
I never heard of this other venue.
Oh,
I was gonna say is that maybe what they called the section we were in? But I was just told it was the Honda Center. So
no, you would know the Fox Chase Manor because it has huge sort of Roman columns out front.
Oh,
where is that?
I don't know. I'm looking at the listing for Evening Under the Stars, and I don't know exactly yet.
I never heard of that. They always had it at the Honda Center.
Oh.
Yeah. So you might be looking at a different Evening Under the Stars.
Oh.
A different evening.
And with that, we're going to take a commercial break, I think.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking about Evening Under the Stars, an amazing event that took place Saturday, August 22nd at the Honda headquarters in Torrance. I guess it was at the Honda headquarters in Torrance, with the proceeds benefiting Torrance Memorial Medical Center and For Our Children. We're talking about that event, and we're talking with two people that know all about Torrance Memorial and especially about neonatal intensive care and mother-baby units and about child development and child experiences, psychological experiences with healthcare. We'd love to have you join our conversation. If you have a question or comment, please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. And, of course, we'd also like to thank a sponsor.
This segment of the South Bay Show is brought to you by Your Actualized Visions. A local advertising agency, Your Actualized Visions offers all your advertising needs under one roof. From logo design, business cards, banners, and signage, to online services such as website design, SEO management, promotional videos, reputation management, and loyalty promotions, you name it, and Your Actualized Visions will handle it for you on time and under budget. Built on the needs of their clients, Your Actualized Visions is competitively priced and economical, saving you money and greatly enhancing your bottom line. At Your Actualized Visions, customer service is all local with one point of contact. No more dealing with robo-answering machines, getting the runaround, or speaking to someone in another country. Your Actualized Visions understands your hyper-local advertising needs and focuses on bringing you real clients. They do not buy likes, followers, or fake results. Your campaigns are real, built with real community followers who want to purchase your services and products. The only thing standing in the way of your company's success is you now picking up the phone right now and calling Your Actualized Visions at 310-413-8773. To learn more about what Your Actualized Visions can do for you and your company, visit the website at youractualizedvisions.com. Your Actualized Visions, your dreams today, not someday.
Okay, we're back, and I think I have the right Evening Under the Stars now. I'm looking at pictures, and it's not the Fox Chase Manor, no. Not at all.
I never even heard of that. So.
Well, it's in Manassas, Virginia.
Okay, well, that's why.
I don't
not quite
why.
The South Bay, huh?
I don't know why you've never heard of it. It's famous. But
Joe, I have a hard enough time keeping up with what's going on in the South Bay. I can't look to the East.
Wonderful. Obviously, everyone had a fabulous time. Just tell us a little bit about your experience, Mary. This is your first year attending?
This is my very first year attending. Everything else was getting in the way of the other dates in the past years.
Yeah.
But this year was wonderful. I was quite I loved how much the sponsors basically doted on all of us as guests. It was nice seeing our usual physician group outside of their normal scrubs in nice suits and, you know, coats and ties. It was very nice. It was great to meet the other physicians because in the maternal child side, I have my group of physicians I interact with quite a bit, but the surgeons that are in the rest of the hospital or the other physicians, it was nice to meet them. The ambiance was wonderful. Besides Kenny G, they had live auctions. They also had silent auctions. I did a very good job scouting out my silent auction and made sure no one outbid me. We had just a great time sitting down and just chatting with people that, you know, you pass every day but don't have time to have a nice conversation. So it was just a comfortable event. Nothing stuffy about it. Everybody was friendly and outgoing, and it was quite a delight.
Now, Gina, it seems like you have Mary beat a little bit. Beyond 5 years, 21 years?
I have, yes.
21 years, is it, with Torrance Memorial?
I have 21 years here, and I tell everybody I have the best job in the hospital.
Because you get to play Nintendo?
I get to spend my day making kids happy, which is just a blessing to do.
Right. Now, how many or what was your first Evening Under the Stars?
I have not been to one. Can you believe that?
Oh.
Yes. I'm
going
to bring her next year. She's going. Yeah, bring her.
We're going to go together.
Okay. When we talk about these events, though, they do bring such visibility to Torrance Memorial. I mean, obviously, among the locals, it's a big event, but it does bring the name and the medical center into the public's consciousness for that of that time, and with the publicity around the events. How does that affect the state of medical care and services, do you think, to have these events? How important is that?
I think, especially here in the South Bay, a lot of people do know about Torrens Memorial. Mm-hmm. I think it's amazing that we are still a standalone community hospital. And to bring it back to the community again so they can see that we're alive and we're thriving and we still have all of the services that, you know, they're looking for, mm-hmm. is amazing. And it kind of just reminds us that we're all here to help them. And you'd have to check with my foundation, but I'm fairly confident that once these events kind of get out in the public, it just raises everyone's awareness. And don't forget about Torrens, because we're still here and we will be here.
Now, you raise a point about uh-huh. standalone community hospitals. They
yes.
are quite a rare species today. Mostly you'll see these huge groups like
sure.
Kaiser Permanente, a huge mm-hmm. group that manages, I don't know how many medical centers they manage, but dozens. How do you survive as a standalone community hospital?
Well, first of all, we have an excellent leader in Craig Leach as our CEO. He has strategically aligned us with certain facilities as far as like my pediatric unit, for example. Mm-hmm. I needed to be able to keep my pediatric population here at Torrens, but they had, let's say, certain comorbidities, diabetes, infectious disease process, and so we needed those specialists in order to care for them. So we have a unique alliance with Miller's Children's Hospital. Their specialists come down to see our children here, so our kids don't need to go up there. And we had those special alliances across the facility, which really help us stay here, be dynamic, and keep going with all the new technologies and whatnot, but have the best of both worlds.
Right, right. It's just about alliances and about, you know, change. I see that. That's what it
takes. The special relationship piece, it continues even into the business side of what we do here.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
You know, I also want to mention, since we were talking about fundraising and their Evening Under the Stars is such a big event, but they also, Torrens Memorial also does the Holiday Festival?
Oh, yes. The Holiday Festival is wonderful.
Which is another big one. Gina, do you want to tell us about that? Because you've been around for a while, so I'm sure you've seen mm-hmm. many of those.
Well, I have, and it is a wonderful event. They just have beautiful Christmas trees that are donated by different people in the community, and we have people bidding on them. And I think it does quite well as far as bringing in money for the hospital. I don't
mm-hmm.
exactly know the numbers,
mm-hmm.
but
right.
I know it's a beautiful event. Face painting, singers, and all sorts of fun.
They have several. It's over the course of several days, and it's
yes.
not just the trees, these gorgeously decorated trees. Joe, have you ever seen this?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Yeah. So it's not only the gorgeously decorated trees that you can bid on and, you know, take your
mm-hmm.
tree home, but there's events. There's lunches. There's, I think there's a fashion show. I mean, there's,
correct.
There's mm-hmm. several events taking place throughout the course of, I don't know, 5 or 6
it's
days.
It's like a week, a little over a week or so, yeah.
Yeah.
When I first started here at Torrens, I came, I think, in October, and then the gala piece starts the first week of December. I was thoroughly amazed. The big tent goes up. They have all the Christmas trees. I brought my family down to go through the different venues. It was quite a delight, and I could see why people come to it every year, because it changes a little bit each year. The trees have the flavor of the day, like the Downton Abbey tree a couple years back. And so it's nice to see it kind of evolve. And then
Game of Thrones trees.
I'm sure it'll be there. and also, too, just to see how the community, again, steps up. They have, like, some crafts that they sell from local people. The food is delightful because it's all – there's some handmade goodies in there. It's just really nice.
Yeah, that's another big, big fundraiser. And mm-hmm. and tell us again about how do you work specifically with For Our Children?
Well, For Our Children, I believe, is an association that we're first partnering with, especially this year for Evening Under the Stars. In the past, I believe it had been solely Torrance Memorial, but this is kind of a different way of reaching out into our community to help with everyone's needs, especially with Honda's association changing a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Honda.
Yeah. Oh, yes, Honda.
The other elephant in the room.
Now, For Our Children, that's the number 4, the letter R, children.net.
I don't think so. I think you got the wrong thing again, Joe. I think this is spelled out For Our Children, F-O-R-Y-O-U-R, children. I don't think I think that might be a different organization.
No, I'm pretty sure.
Sure.
All
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Originally, Michael Franks of Chez Melange and his wife Lisa, along with co-owner Robert, the annual For Our Children event in two small tents set up in the parking lot of the hotel that housed their restaurant. As the event became more popular and attendance grew, a local philanthropic organization of volunteers called Sandpipers stepped up to help with the event. And the rest is history. The event was soon bursting at the seams again. Honda stepped in to help sponsor the event at its Torrance headquarters, giving For Our Children a venue that could hold burgeoning crowds. Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know Michael Franks and Robert Bell were involved in that.
Yeah, originally. Yeah.
Oh, how do you like that?
I'm just not very familiar with their mission. The mission of For Our Children. Gina or Mary, are you familiar with their mission?
You know, to be perfectly truthful, I'm not.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm not either. I wish I could help you out on that one.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead. I believe we will become very close as time goes on, though,
mm-hmm.
Especially with our new unit and, again, as we're looking for different partnerships.
Understand. And, of course, you guys, both of you, deal with child health care. But, Gina, your role in child health care is quite a special one. I mean, if you could just expand on that a little bit.
Sure.
We talked about it at the beginning. But this is you're not dealing with blood tests and levels of elevated hormones or decreased hormones. You're dealing
mm-hmm.
with the psychological aspects of healthcare. Talk about that a little.
I did want to throw in something real quick that we have, a program we have that I haven't mentioned yet. It's called Torrance Loves Children, and it's a sick child care. And they are very far and few between. We've kept our standing to help the community as well as our employees. So if you woke up, if your child wakes up one morning and has a fever and can't go to school and you have an important meeting at work and can't stay home, you can bring your child to us, and it happens to be in our pediatric unit, and we care for them for the day for $4 an hour. The employees get the service for $1 an hour. So I oversee that program as well, so that's kind of incorporated in my job.
Now, what ages children?
From 0 to 13 years.
$4 an hour?
Yeah, I tell people I pay more for my dog sitter.
What's the phone number? What's going on? That's crazy.
It's a great
service.
It's pretty incredible. We have a nurse's aide that works in there full time, and then the nurses are just outside the door. So if she needs somebody to be medicated, we just grab one of the pediatric nurses and they medicate, you know, a child with a fever or whatever they need.
Can anybody use the service, or do you have to be pre-registered?
Pre-registration is online, and they can do it the same morning. I mean, it's pretty easy to do, and you just have to bring immunization records to prove, you know, they're immunized.
Wow.
Isn't that incredible?
That is incredible. I mean, that is incredible because that's like the number one thing. I mean, that has happened to every single person that has ever had a child.
Mm-hmm.
You come down sick, you can't stay home, you don't have anybody
right.
that can care for them. I mean, that's amazing. Tell us about
right.
that again. give us some contact information for that.
Sure. It's Torrance Loves Children. We shorten it up with TLC. And it's on our website under pediatrics, and you can look up like all the information and download the application and the registration materials.
Right.
And then our phone number is basically, well, I can give it out, 310-517-4747. And we just like a heads up, like, you know, if your child wakes up at midnight with a fever and you know you can't stay home, then just call us then, just so we know we have enough space and staff to staff the program for the next day.
Wow.
What an amenity. What an amenity to have in this community. That's great. That's great.
Of course, because many times if you already have child care arranged, the moment you mentioned, oh, well, my child is ill, they'll say, well, maybe you can't bring them today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right.
And a lot of times if they have a fever at daycare, they say, well, you can't bring them back for 24 hours. So they kind of have no choice in the matter.
Right. Wow.
So a couple of other things I wanted to share also about my job is the pain management part of working with kids and trying to help them, get through the painful part of hospitalization. So I try to stay abreast of any new developments in the field. And a few years back, I came upon something called a buzzy bee, and it's a buzzy is a device that vibrates kind of like your cell phone would on silent mode, and it's placed as close to the poke site as possible without interfering with what the nurses are doing. And Buzzy uses natural pain relief by confusing your own body's nerves, distracting attention away from the poke. It's pretty cool. It can actually decrease needle pain by 50 to 80%. So that was kind of an easy fix for some of the it takes away that sharp pain feeling just by distracting the nerves, which is really cool.
It's electronic?
It's just like the size of your palm, and it vibrates. So you just press a button, and it makes this vibrating feel and sound.
Right.
And it's in the shape of a bee. So they're changing it to also be a ladybug, because sometimes kids are afraid of bees. So we have a ladybug feature too.
It's a buzzy ladybug.
The question begs to be asked. Do adults ever request use of it when they have to go get a shot?
When parents see how it's helped their child, they said, I wish I had it for myself.
I wonder if it isn't really something that could be used in adult medicine.
Because, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah.
It
sounds to me like it may be an actual, not just a psychological trick, but the mind.
It's physiological.
Physiologically, you can only pay attention to so many different things. How many times have you had a pain in one part of your body and you have a pain in the other part of the body and you forget about the first one?
Right. That's exactly
true.
It.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Hey,
so
Joe, go right ahead.
Okay. So then comfort positionings is another simple and extremely effective way to help a child with like an IV start. So back in the day when I first started, we would wrap the kids in a burrito and lay them on the gurney, and right away they start screaming because they know something terrible is going to happen.
Yeah.
Now we position the child and parent in a comfort hold where the parent sits in a chair beside the gurney and the child straddles the parent while they're giving them a big bear hug. And then they lay their arm out on the gurney, and then the nurses work with the arm. So that, along with Buzzy Bee and Emla cream, which is a cream that numbs the skin, these techniques sometimes create a scenario where the child comes out and nothing, is not affected by anything, and they are skipping out of the treatment room. They get to pick a prize, and all is good. And that's the hardest part of being in the hospital is that IV start, usually.
Wow.
So those are some of the fun things that I get to, work with the kids and just try to make that hospital stay as best as possible.
I think she's right, Joe. I think she has the best job.
Yes.
I told you.
Yeah. We've decided. She has the best job. Yes.
She has the best job.
She wins, hands down.
Do you want me to quickly run through the weekend guide?
Okay, great.
It's Thursday.
Let's find out.
The weekend's coming up.
And everyone's going into – it's Labor Day weekend. Everyone's going into school, if not before, certainly after.
Yeah, yeah, the three-day holiday weekend coming up. Tonight, Monkey Toes presents the Penn Street Sound, an evening of poetry and music. Tonight, Thursday, September 1st, at Smoky Hollow Studios in El Segundo. It's an open mic event, so bring your poetry and be prepared to share. Or you can just sit back and enjoy others' prose and some live music. Doors open at 7:30 with the show starting at 8 p.m. Admission is $5 per person. And by the way, all this information, it's on my website, southbaybyjackie.com. So all the links are there, phone numbers, everything you need. So that's tonight, an evening of poetry and music in El Segundo at Sleepy Hollow Studios. Barry Bly Productions presents South Bay Splash on Saturday, September 3rd, from noon to 6 p.m. at Aloft, El Segundo. This is the first big pool party in the South Bay in years. The event features a couple of famous DJs, Chris Garcia and Charles Feelgood. Tickets are $25 per person. There are no paper tickets for this event. Guests should pick up wristbands at will call, and you got to bring your confirmation receipt along with an ID. That's at the Loft Hotel, located at 475 North Sepulveda Boulevard. And, of course, the big event of the weekend, the Hermosa Beach Chamber of Commerce presents Fiesta Hermosa. On Saturday, September 3rd, it runs through Monday, September 5th in downtown Hermosa Beach from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. each day. It's the largest arts and crafts fair in Southern California. Live music, two stages, food court, you know, all sorts of ethnic foods, charity beer and wine garden, beer, wine, coolers. They're served by local celebrities, you know, including the mayor and city council, and they feature nonprofit and other civic organizations. So that's this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Everybody's going to be there. Shade Hotel in Manhattan Beach will host the final summer pool party of the season on Sunday, September 4th, on the rooftop sky deck beginning at 1 p.m. and concluding at dusk. There's no admission fee for this summer pastime. Mix, mingle, and make new friends poolside. The event features handcrafted cocktails, food specials, DJs, and good times. That's at Shade Hotel, located at 1221 North Valley Drive. Now, this is a big one. This is big. During Santa's routes through the city of Manhattan Beach last holiday season, remember we were elves on the float one night, Joe?
Yeah.
Numerous parents asked if Santa would be available earlier in the year to take photos so families could use them for their annual holiday cards. So by popular request, Santa and his elves will make a stationary appearance for photo ops on September 4th in Pollywog Park at the Concerts in the Park series. So this Sunday is the final one. Santa and the Santa float will appear before and during the concert to enable families to get their pictures with Santa far enough in advance to be used for the holiday cards. So if you want to take a picture with Santa, you should bring your own camera. All right, the float will be positioned next to the children's playground in direct line of sight from the concert venue, and the float will be there from 3 to 7 p.m. All right,
wow.
This is in Pollywog Park at 1601 Manhattan Beach Boulevard in Manhattan Beach at the corner of Redondo Avenue and Manhattan Beach Boulevard.
Talk about responding to customer service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is a volunteer organization. You know, they put it together every year. So if you want to, you know, there are people that like to plan well ahead and get their pictures taken. This is your chance. All right.
Yeah.
Assemblyman David Hadley is going to host a senior town hall on transportation on Wednesday, September 7th, from 10 a.m. to noon at the Joslyn Center. All right. The community is encouraged to attend and learn from representatives from various agencies about transportation alternatives in the South Bay. The Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce presents The Mixer, and it's going to be at Center Cal Properties offices on Wednesday, September 7th, from 5:30 to 7 p.m. All right, so it's a mixer, but, so guests are going to enjoy light bites and sips, and you get to see that incredible model of the waterfront project,
right,
which is currently housed in their offices, all 17 feet of it. And just to mention, you know, many of the local summer concert series have already ended for the season, but there are still a few happening this weekend. There's going to be live music on the Redondo Beach Pier tonight and Saturday, in Pollywog Park on Sunday, and at Nelson's. So all the details are, again, on my website. And tomorrow morning on the show, we're going to our guest is Rachel Thomas from the Manhattan Beach Young Entrepreneurs Academy, so we're going to hear about that tomorrow. And it's my weekend guide light, you know. Labor Day weekend, historically speaking, there's not a lot of big events going on because, A, people are getting ready to get back to school. B, some people are taking last-minute vacations. And C, nobody wants to compete with Fiesta Formosa. So there's some stuff going on.
Right.
If you want to get out and do something.
Awesome.
Okay.
We live in such a great area. There is always something great to do. We also have some great medical services right here in our own community. Thank you so much for joining us today, Mary Wright. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
And Gina Sievert, thank you so much for joining us. Now, let's talk about the services that are available and make sure everyone has the contact information that they need to get in touch with Torrance Memorial. Mary, let's start with you. Is there an outreach that you do for your neonatal and mother-baby unit? Do you have classes?
We do. We have classes through our HealthLinks service, community service center, mm-hmm. and that's located in the West Tower on campus.
Mm-hmm.
They have all kinds of staying healthy classes, like getting back into shape with Pilates or some yoga. They have prenatal classes for women that are expecting. We also each year have our NICU reunion, where all of the babies that are graduates of our NICU, our neonatal intensive care unit, can come back and see their nurses and see their doctors. And the doctors and nurses get to see the kids, which is absolutely wonderful. Some of them are like 20 years old now and still come back to the reunion. It's quite phenomenal.
That is phenomenal. That's fantastic. And of course, Gina, with what you do, you have such an impact on their mental state and, of course, the mental state of their parents. One of the worst things a parent can experience is the suffering of a child. There's no question about it. It affects their work. It affects their health. And then they see what you do, and they see their child relaxing and feeling better and maybe even having some fun. It's got to change the whole dynamic.
It does. It does. I get so many nice notes from parents after they've left and thanking me for my role here.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just kind of being a role model for the parents. The kids, you know, feed off of what the parents are feeling oftentimes. So if a parent is very stressed out and you know the child senses that. So trying to get the parent to relax as well is important, and making them feel at ease. And even while I'm preparing the child, the parent seems to be more at ease because they know what's going to happen as well to their
right.
child. So it's all good.
I imagine as a physician, I would much rather deal with a patient that was calm and collected than a patient that's screaming and, you know,
mm-hmm.
just thinking, oh my God, what's going to happen to me? And he's coming at me with a needle. Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we are so blessed to have Gina here. She takes such good care of our children across the whole facility.
Right. Right. Wonderful. Well, you both are such great representatives of Torrance Memorial Medical Center. Thank you so much for joining us today. Mary Wright, thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. It was a delight.
And Gina, of course, thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having us.
That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back tomorrow. Jackie? Who's on tomorrow again?
Rachel Thomas, Young Entrepreneurs Academy in Manhattan Beach.
Oh, I love that organization,
mm-hmm.
Young Entrepreneurs Academy. Fantastic. That's a great show. Well, everyone, check out the show tomorrow, and we'll be back. And then have a fantastic Labor Day weekend. Thank you all, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye now. And, of course, thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.